Today, you're going to hear an incredible story. You have to stay tuned. She was born in prison and born again in prison. We're going to talk about it today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts. It's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect. And this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. Hello, beautiful brave hearts. Well, if you ever thought that your life was hopeless, too far gone, you've done too many things, God can never forgive you, you're going to think about that twice today because I have an incredible guest for you. Her life has been extraordinary. Born in jail to a young prostitute, her life destined to either get better or worse. And worse it was. An extraordinary, horrific childhood, which abruptly ended as she became a 13-year-old bride. I can't even imagine. I don't want to give it all away today, but my guest is a wife of 26 years to Randy, Mr. Forever. Wonderful. A mother, a grandmother. She's the author of books, mentor, speaker, Georgia accent included, and a prayer intercessor, which is the most important and powerful. She desires to see women free from their past and experience a life that God intended. Will you please welcome to The Bravehearted Woman, my guest today, Cheryl Bond. Hi, Cheryl.
Well, hello.
We're so glad that you're joining us today, and we're glad that you have come to the place where you're just willing to open up your heart and say, this is my story. I want to share it. I want others to know that there is a God who heals, changes, transforms, sets free. So welcome, and we're eager to hear from you. Tell us a little bit about you currently, right now. What you up to these days, Cheryl?
Would you believe I'm 77 years old and God last year opened up a speaking ministry, which led to encouraging me to write a book of my life. And I just can't get over him. Why now, Lord? And he said, why not now?
So, that's so good. I love it. Yeah. What is the title of your book?
We're going back and forth on that. That's the book is wrote, but me and my editor are going back and forth on the title.
Okay. Well, we will just be anticipating whatever title it is that you land on, but you're not going back and forth on the story. You're very clear about your story. Tell us a little bit about your beginnings, Cheryl.
Well, as you said, I was born in a woman's state prison. My mother was a prostitute. She wasn't married. And when I started my journey in writing, I wanted to get some facts. Of course, back then, they didn't keep records. So my facts, I couldn't get what I wanted to. But I did learn when a child is born in prison to an unwed mother, that baby is immediately put in an orphanage.
Oh.
But I see God didn't allow that to happen. God was already working in my life. And then she put me up for adoption. And again, God stopped that. And there was somebody, because he called my mother's family, wanting to know a background. And that's when my mother's family first knew about me. Because my mother had ran away. She changed her name. And so her family hadn't heard nothing from her in several years. So God stopped that. And so when my mother, she didn't even name me. I guess I was probably 3 months old when she said, I need to give this chick a name. So
Oh my
she,
goodness.
the headlines of the newspaper at that time was reading, were Cheryl Turner, Lana Turner's daughter at 14, killed her mother's boyfriend. So my mama named me Cheryl. I
Oh.
said, years later, I said, no wonder I was so stinking mean. You named me after a murderer. And so I do try to tell people, watch what you name your children, because they'll grow up to their expectations of what you keep calling them every day.
That is so
So,
true. That, I just want to pause for a moment because you're exactly right. That is so true. And we don't think of it as it's a type of prophecy. You're speaking over their life. It doesn't have to be because God can intervene. But so at 3 months old, you're finally named. You're given the name after Cheryl Turner. And what happens to you? Your mom kept you in the state penitentiary with the women for 3 months?
That part I don't know. I
Okay.
don't, you know, I and my mother wouldn't talk about much. So, and I didn't think to, you know, press her for more. Before she died, I did try to get her to give me her testimony. And she said, what will my friends think? And I said, they'll probably think I'm glad it's you telling it all instead of me. But she just wouldn't tell all of her story. But she did on her deathbed apologize to me. And that meant a lot. I didn't need it, but it meant a lot to me because I never thought she noticed all of her bad choices. And so that meant a lot to me that she didn't forget that. When she did that, I told her, I said, well, Mama, look, I'm the one standing here. Yeah, maybe I did have a rough growing up, but it gave me grit to be able to do the things that I can do today, to be able to stand.
Yes, ma'am. That's beautiful. So your family found out about you when you were 3 months old or so, and then did they take custody of you? Okay.
No, they weren't that kind of family.
Okay.
No. Well, and I was the sixth child, and she had already give up the first five children.
Oh my goodness.
So two of them went to grandparents, one of them went to an uncle, one of them she just left in the hospital. Another one she left with a friend. So that was God too. She could have left me.
Yes.
She could,
Could have.
yep. But
So what happened and who raised you? Where did you go?
well, she went to a bar, you know, back to what she was familiar with. And that's where she met my dad to be. He was, I want to say, a good looking, a full-blooded Italian. And he was a longshoreman. But he loved me. He loved me. He told my mother, he said, I'm not close to my family. If I tell them this is my baby, they'll believe it. And so that's what he did. But him being a longshoreman and a full-blooded Italian, he drank all day and they fought all night. But she would have to put a lock on my bedroom door because when he would get drunk, he was always going to leave her, but he was always going to take me with him. And that was kind of the first in many years where I really felt loved. Even now that I've got some experiences with drunk husbands, I'm sure he was just doing that to spite her, to say, I'm taking her with me.
Sure.
But I loved him. I loved him and I bared his name. I still do bear his name. But she couldn't take it anymore. And so there were some neighbors that were visiting and they were heading out. And my mother said, can I bum a ride with you? Well, nobody had money, so they were working as migrant workers across the state at different fields and different things. Now, this is a 4-year-old's memory, but I believe the first farm was green beans. I'm telling you, green beans as far as you can see. I worked in the field just like the grown-ups. I drug my sack of green beans to the flatbed truck that would pay us immediately for how much our beans weighed. I still can remember being so hungry, just eating green beans off the vine. We lived in bunk houses, and there was a lot of people there, a lot of people. And in the bunk house was beds all the way around the wall of the bed. And a lot of bad things happened to me in that bunk house. And I don't want to believe my mother was selling me, but she would put me in an abandoned car out in a field and leave me. And I remember one shadow after another visiting the car. And I thought to myself, I don't like this. This can't be real. I bet if my daddy was here, this wouldn't be happening. So it made me very angry at her for leaving him. Nothing could have been as bad as this is being with him. And so I was very rebellious. And two, she called me bad seed. She said I was put on earth to torment her. And again, I tell ladies, don't call your kids names. Because I thought, I'll show you what bad seed looks like. And I was mean, I was rebellious.
Of
I was
course.
bad to fight. And then the next big farm we went to was peaches. I thought,
Ooh.
all right, I can eat peaches all day long. But as pretty as peach orchards look, there was monsters there too. And so we finally left San Francisco, California, and landed up in San Antonio, Texas, where we lived till I think I was 12. But I was habitual runaway. I wanted a home. I wanted family. We lived in a little two-room house that the landlord built in his backyard, and it was covered in tar paper. No heat, no air. I would see people's houses and the lights on, and I thought, how beautiful. And I would go and sleep on their front porch. I wanted a home so bad. And one time I stole a chair off of a front porch and drug it home. And when I don't know, somebody had to have told on me because here comes the police and the homeowner. And the homeowner said, why did you do that? And I said, because it was so pretty. He said, yeah, my wife thinks so too. But I had no guidance. I didn't know right from wrong until when I was born again and I read Proverbs till I started learning what was right from wrong.
Wow. So I mean, first of all, I'm just almost speechless. You have such an incredible story already. Monsters in the Peach Orchard just takes my breath away. And to think about the things that you endured already, and you're only 12 years old, and there's a whole lot of life to live yet. So I know that when we opened this up, I read your bio that you were a bride already at 13. So this is the upcoming next year of your life. At 12, you're still in the peach orchard. And then what? Does your mom move again? I can't even
She said,
imagine this.
when we got to Texas, like I said, I was very rebellious. She, of course, worked. She worked second shift at a restaurant slash bar. And so we would come home from school, she wouldn't be there. And then when we would get up to go to school, she was asleep. So like I said, I had no guidance. I had a younger brother that I took care of. Never heard the word babysitter till I needed one. And like I said, I was an habitual runaway, and the police would drag me and bring me back home. And my mother said, I don't know what to do with her. And I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm guessing there wasn't juveniles back then. And he said, I know of a place that'll take her in. And it was kind of like a juvenile, it was for wayward girls. But it was run by nuns. So off they take me there. And of course, it's just like jail. I can't see my mother. It's got barbed wire on the top of the stone wall. A lot of rules where I've never had a rule. And so I finally get it. If I behave myself, I get a reward. And my
Wow.
reward would be to go, I get to go home and spend the night. So I behaved myself and I got to go home, which my mother didn't have a car. She didn't drive till she was up in her 50s. And somebody was there and they said, well, we'll drop her off as we leave. But it was before time for me to leave. And I didn't want to go back, much less go back earlier. And my mother had cancer. So I went to the bathroom and opened the medicine cabinet and I took everything that was in there and I hit the floor like a rock. Nobody took me to the hospital. They just folded me up and stuck me in the car and took me back to the convent, where I slept for 3 days. I wet the bed. All they told me, I was going to go to hell for trying to commit suicide. But no one ever asked me, what is wrong with you?
Of
What's
course.
the matter? Why are you so angry? Why are you so, hard to get along with? Then while I'm there, my mother had wrote me a letter, but I didn't receive it till the day of my birthday, my 13th birthday. I didn't receive the letter. The nuns called me in to say, your dad has died. And so I started crying, and they said, what are you crying for? He ain't your daddy. Well, that was the first I'd ever heard that. And I thought, why are you lying to me? It hurt me so bad. I never even asked my mother, are they telling the truth? Because I didn't want to know the truth. It was many, many years later. It was at when I got married before I questioned her. Well, when I was getting my divorce and I needed to go to work, so I needed a Social Security card. So I told my mother, how do I get a Social Security card? She said, well, I'll have to write to California, blah, blah, blah. And then she told me, but your dad's name is not on your birth certificate. So that made me ask questions. It's just one mess after another, one story after another.
And we don't know for sure. Maybe you have some facts, but that old saying, hurt people hurt people. And you have to wonder what happened to your mom. I wonder if she had the very same type of upbringing or childhood that she didn't have any other kind of wisdom or strength to draw from. Something was desperately wrong in her life.
What little bit that I know, because back then people just didn't air their laundry. They didn't tell you about their skeletons. If something happened in the family, it just stayed there. You just didn't talk about it. And my mother was the youngest of five siblings. Her parents were up in age when she was born. Well, they had gotten in a fight before she was born, and they never spoke to each other till the day they died. So my mother grew up in a home with nothing, no love, no compassion, no conversation. She married when she was 19 years old, and my mother lived on a dirt farm in Missouri, and she married a man that worked on the railroad, and he moved her to the big city of Chicago. Within a year of their marriage, of course, she was pregnant. She had a little baby boy, but her husband got TB and had to, back then they put him in like a nursing home because they believed TB was contagious. And he wasn't there maybe a year before he got pneumonia and he died. So there she is in a big city in Chicago, 20-year-old widow, and don't know her head from a hole in the ground. So his parents took the baby and, told my mama to hit the road. And I guess that's when her prostitution life must have started because she had no career, no education. It was right during World War II, so there weren't many jobs. She did what she all she knew to do to survive. I don't even think birth control was popular back then because it looks like every 2 years she had a baby. Right.
So you needed a social security card, and your mom says, "Yes, I can help you get that, but warning, I'm going to get the birth certificate, and your dad's name is not going to be on that birth certificate." Is that when you kind of felt like, okay, what
Yeah.
the nuns were telling me is true?
Yeah. I still didn't want to believe it, and I thought he's the only dad that loved me, and I'm just going to always carry his name. I did ask her, "Well, who's my daddy?" And she was very vague about it. And I said, "Well, I'm going to go find him." She said, "Well, he's dead." I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "I read it in the paper." But I wonder to this day, and what good would it have done? He threw her out when she got pregnant. And I believe now, after I had found the rest of my siblings, when I did my ancestry
Oh, yes.
DNA thing, and so talking with them and putting puzzle pieces together, I think my dad was her John.
Oh, that
Yeah.
makes sense, right?
Yes, and where she was living, it looked like the girls that he worked all lived together. But my mother was coming up pregnant every 2 years, and I guess he thought I'm spending more money on her than she's making. And he threw her out, but she left a child there that was raised by the woman that was running the nightclub.
Oh
So
boy.
it's just, it's just the mess we can get ourselves into.
Well, that's so true. And it's kind of one layer upon another layer. You know, there's poverty, there's no education. There is then this abused girl is getting abused. Then it's just on and on and on it goes. But you broke the mold. You broke the mold. But your story's still not done. You're only 13 now. Do you get emancipated at 13, or how is it that you are out of the girls' home for wayward girls?
When my dad died, he left. They were still divorced. They'd never divorced. So he still had her on his insurance. So she got his insurance. He got everything he had, which wasn't that much, but he did have an insurance policy. So she gathered us up and we moved back to California because she too had a hunger for family. So she thought they'll open her. Welcome her with open arms, but they really didn't. One of them wanted to borrow some money, and my mother gave it to her, but then she never would speak to my mother. She wouldn't pay her back, so my mother felt very wounded and unwelcomed. So she had a brother that lived in Georgia, and my mother come to visit him because she's been estranged from her family for many years. And she fell in love with Georgia, the beauty of Georgia. So she packed us up and moved us to Georgia. And that was a, you know, teenagers, they don't like being moved around. They don't, I didn't have that many friends, but I certainly didn't want to leave the ones that I had bonded with. So here we come to Georgia. And coming from California to Georgia is two different worlds.
Oh, yes.
In California, I got took to the principal's office for saying yes, ma'am. No, for not saying yes, ma'am. Come to Georgia, got took to the principal's office for vice versa. I didn't say it at one, and I said it, and I got in trouble at both schools. So
Trying to
it
figure
was,
out the rules here. Like the different cultures are unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes, it was a big difference in my eyes. So just haphazardly, I met my husband. He was 18, I was 13. Of course, I told him I was 16. So you can't hold him at fault, but I don't say too much about him. I wrote a little bit in my book about him. But I do have two children by him, and out of love and respect for my children, I didn't say too much about. I said enough to show that it was a rough, but not too much. I gave him a lot of grace, a lot of grace.
I respect that and I understand that. And so you married him and now you're living in Georgia. You're married. You have two children by him. How long did that marriage last?
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Bravehearted Woman, Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.